Hello, I'm David Kerr, Professor of Cancer Medicine at the University of Oxford. It's that time of year again. It's a run-up to ASCO. So this is a fantastic meeting, 30,000 oncologists from around the world gathering to hear what is usually regarded as the latest, bestest breaking news from the world of cancerology. An excellent meeting. And as always with Medscape, we try to look for a couple of highlights, each of us in our own fields, think are worthwhile looking out for. Being honest, in the world of colorectal cancerology, there's not a huge amount of very excitingly new news, nothing that will be majorly practice changing. But nevertheless, there are some interesting studies, a couple of which I've picked out. All of these are presented at the oral session, the oral colorectal GI session. The first thing that caught my eye was the study of SIRFLOX. This was a randomized phase 3 trial in which combination chemotherapy with FOLFOX6 plus antibodies was compared with the same chemotherapy plus or minus SIRFLOX. So these are yttrium-90 resin microspheres which are given through the hepatic artery to offer internal radiation to hepatic metastatic colorectal cancer. Big, well-designed study. But disappointingly, it didn't meet its primary endpoint, which is looking at global progression-free survival. Now, the sub-analysis suggests that progression-free survival within the liver seems to be elongated with the addition of the SIRSpheres, but sadly, overall progression-free survival doesn't seem to have changed at all. This is an interim report, so we'll have to wait to see what happens to overall survival. But this may be a case of, frankly, just choosing the wrong primary endpoint. But overall survival, that would be the proof of the pudding. Second thing which caught my eye was a study looking at vitamin D status and survival of metastatic colorectal cancer patients. This was a CLGB SWOG Alliance in which measures of 25 hydroxyvitamin D were measured in plasma, and what it showed was those patients with higher vitamin D levels treated in these various trials did better. It's a story that we've told repeatedly in Medscape, but there are more and more observational data accumulating suggesting that we need to pay attention to vitamin D status and to order it. Offering vitamin D supplementation seems an entirely reasonable thing to do for those of our patients who have developed advanced or metastatic disease. Third was a study from Norway, and again, this is as if it's over-the-counter treatment of colorectal cancer, but this is a big cancer registry study looking at the impact of aspirin in secondary prevention in a huge unselected cohort of 25,644 patients were treated in this cancer registry study. Of those 24,000, they discovered about 6,000 who'd received regular aspirin after the diagnosis of colorectal cancer had been made. They looked at overall survival, colorectal cancer-specific survival, and those patients who were treated with or who took aspirin at a range of different doses did better. So again, another message that we've been promulgating in Medscape repeatedly, and more data accumulating, that patients should just pop down to the local pharmacy, sure. Think about taking low-dose aspirin and vitamin D supplements. Those patients with advanced disease or who are looking for secondary prevention, this seems a logical thing to do. The final abstract that caught my eye, and remember I'm interested both in the biology of colorectal cancer as well as its therapeutic management, was a beautiful study from Harvard, working with colleagues in Japan, in which they did a large prospective study with exomic sequencing and looking at microsatellite instability. What they showed was that patients with microsatellite unstable disease have a higher antigenic load, a presentation of more antigens to the host's immune system than those with microsatellite stable disease. And they discovered that in exome sequencing, not surprisingly, they could come up with signatures which were consistent and correlated with the number and degree and type of tumor-infiltrating lymphocytes, and that this was good for you. So here we have tumors which are programmed to present a much greater antigenic load to the systemic immune system. The host responds by priming and preparing tumour-infiltrating lymphocytes, and clearly there's some significant degree of immune recognition going on within the tumour that confers a relatively good prognosis. So a rather nice study in which they combined high-level genetics, genomics sequencing, with some very careful preparations to look at the degree and type of tumour-infiltrating lymphocytes and to find correlations between the two. And the link between the genomics and the tumour-infiltrating lymphocytes is the very large degree of neoantigen presentation that you get in these hypermutated microsatellite unstable tumours. So it's going to be a great meeting. I should say, if you'd like to meet me, small plug now, I've been made Editor-in-Chief of ASCA's new Journal of Global Oncology. I'll be around at the meeting, and if any of you would like to pop along and say hello, we'll be at the ASCO Journals booth. It's just maybe an opportunity to meet in person. I look forward to that. For the time being, Medscapers, ahoy. Thank you.